bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
It's Thursday, May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you this morning as we continue with day four of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. In the words of St. John Paul II, be not afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. I want to remind you that we can't do it without you. We can't bring Christ to the world through the media without you, our Relevant Radio family. Thank you for all your tremendous support yesterday on Wednesday. I so much appreciate it. Everyone here at the network appreciated it, and especially all you early birds who listen to Morning Air. Thank you so much. This morning, we need your help to reach our goal of $3 million by tomorrow afternoon, Friday at 5:00 Central. We're about 43% of the goal, less than half with only today and tomorrow to go. So it really is, folks, it's crunch time right now. This is the moment of truth. We have less than 35 hours to go. The next 2 hours, we want to do a great job so we can pass on the baton to Patrick Madrid and keep it going. We have a ways to go, but I have great faith in you. You've always come through. You came through in heroic fashion 3 months ago. Please, open your heart and give hope. Give Christ at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or you can give us a call this morning at 877-291-0123. First things first, we start each hour during our Pledge Drive week with the powerful Memorare prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us not only with this Pledge Drive, but also for an end to legal abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We invoke the Holy Spirit every morning, especially here in crunch time during the Pledge Drive. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to bring in my partner, Relevant Radio News anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the big story making headlines this morning?
Well, John, the big story continues to be the leak of the Supreme Court first draft looking to overturn Roe v. Wade. The author of that, Samuel Alito, has had to cancel appearances due to threats, to counter threats. A big fence has been erected around the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. Protests across the country last night, some getting the idea that abortion is already illegal across the country. That's not the case, nor would that be the case if the court officially votes to end Roe v. Wade. Looks to be about half the states it will be legal, half it won't, and that could change a little bit between now and then. But in the meantime, pro-abortion forces using this fuss to raise funds in a big hurry, John.
Yeah, a lot of misinformation out there, and I know that the pro-abortion forces want to see Roe codified. They want to see abortion forever. So we're going to talk about that much more here in the upcoming minutes. Any other story we need to keep an eye on?
And just one more thing about codifying Roe v. Wade. There are not the votes currently in the Senate to make that happen. That won't stop them from taking a vote as well. Another story, too, John, interest rates. The Fed hiked them yesterday at 0.05%, largest increase since 2000 in an effort to tamp down inflation that's running at about 8.5% right now. That jump in March, the biggest in over 40 years, John.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. This is a big day. This is a big day indeed. Thanks, as always. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." St. Maria Faustina Kowalska had a miraculous vision of heaven that she recorded in her diary of the Divine Mercy. She was privileged by God to get a glimpse of heaven. This is what our spiritual life is all about. This is what our ultimate goal is all about. It's about getting to heaven. Let's continue to persevere in the faith and run the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus our Lord. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you.
People must decide their fate, not the church, not the state. People must decide their fate, not the church, not the state.
Those are the sounds of protesters. It's been a few days since the news broke about the leaked draft of the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. Justice Samuel Alito wrote in the draft opinion of the court dated February 10th, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed it was real and launched an investigation while many protests have broken out across our nation. Although many pro-life groups immediately reacted positively to the news, others kept a wait-and-see approach until the High Court officially issues its opinion in the upcoming weeks. Joining us now from the Windy City from Chicago is Eric Schaller, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League based in Chicago, with much more on the Supreme Court leak and Roe v. Wade. Eric speaks frequently on pro-life activism, religious liberty, marriage, and the family to audiences across the country, and of course has been a longtime regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Eric. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you here during our Give Hope Pledge Drive.
Happy Easter to you. John, Christ is risen. It's great to be with you in this wonderful Easter season, and also at this moment where we have so much to think about and work towards and possibly to celebrate as pro-lifers.
Absolutely. And Eric, before we get into the news of what's happening with this leaked Supreme Court case, I wanted to get your perspective. You know, you've shared the pro-life message here on Relevant Radio for many years. Why do you think it's more important than ever to support the mission of Relevant Radio, the mission of Relevant Radio that gives a platform to promoting especially the culture of life?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, John. You know, I just the other day, I got a donation at the Pro-Life Action from a woman named Linda. And she was a brand new donor. I'd never had any contact with her before. She wasn't in my records on my email list. So I wrote a little note on my acknowledgement letter to her saying, hey, I'd love to know how you found out about the Pro-Life Action League. I gave her my email address, which is ejs@prolifeaction.org, by the way, if anyone wants to write. And she wrote me an email and told me that she had gotten connected with the Pro-Life Action League through my interviews talking to you, John. She specifically mentioned your name, and I love when you talk to John Morales. And she had been listening for months, maybe even years, and finally was inspired and kind of had always intended to maybe do something and finally was inspired to send a gift. The fact that Relevant Radio inspires people to take action, I mean, that's what we're about at the Pro-Life Action League. My father, Joe Scheidler, always used to say action speaks louder than words. His motto is the Benedictine motto of Ora et Labora. That means to pray and to work. And the fact that Relevant Radio inspires people to work, to pray, of course, and there's prayer on the air, but also to work, to pick up the phone and make a gift, to pick up the phone and call a state legislator when there's a bad bill that needs to be fought back here in Illinois, or a good bill to be supported in another state, or when there's a rally or protest to come to. People come out to events that we hold because they hear about them on Relevant Radio. And that's why I really appreciate coming on this program, because I know it's going to lead to an increase in what we're doing. It helps grow the pro-life movement to reach out to the listeners of Relevant Radio. It's a great set of listeners, and that's really, for me, the thing that shines out for me about Relevant Radio.
Well,
brings
Eric,
people out.
I loved your dad, and you know, I just love the passion that you bring to our show every time you're with us about the importance of the pro-life message. What is your reaction? We've had a couple of days to see the reaction of what's going on. Do you think that the Supreme Court leak was an effort to threaten the justices planning to sign the majority opinion?
You know, I really am baffled about the leak. You know, some people say, well, maybe it was a clerk of one of the conservatives who wanted to lock in the votes or something like that. I find that really highly suspect, because this, you know, one of the issues surrounding this entire case is the legitimacy of a court, and it only harms the legitimacy of a ruling to have it leaked like this. So it seems unlikely to me that someone in support of it would have done that. So it seems more likely that it was someone at the Supreme Court who opposes the majority opinion that we've seen. And that's really troubling to me. My first thought when I heard the political story where this broke was that it was some kind of a hoax or it was an attempt at sabotage. And I think it was an attempt at sabotage. But now I think we know pretty clearly, especially from what Justice Roberts has said, that this is a legitimate draft ruling that's been distributed to the justices. And having read it, my first reaction actually reading it is just of I feel almost like I'm walking through the looking glass because it is so perfect. I mean, the case that is made against Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey in Samuel Alito's ruling is robust. This was never, abortion was never part of the traditions or laws of the United States. It was outlawed in nearly every state by the 20th century. There was, with the time the 14th Amendment was passed, most states had laws against abortion. There's nothing in the Constitution whatsoever. Just really totally dismantles the entire case that's been made in favor of Roe v. Wade since 1973. And also makes the case that this policy has been horribly bad for our country. It's led to nothing but polarization and a movement to fight it that has never settled the issue. The people have never accepted this ruling, and that it absolutely has to be overturned to return integrity to not only the Supreme Court's deliberations, but to our entire federal politics. So it's a good ruling for the pro-life movement, of course, but also a very good ruling for the country to spare us from any more of this sort of federalized abortion politics, presidential races. The incredible power of the federal judiciary is too great, and it's time to roll that back. And this is really a first step towards an overall revision of our federal politics that will benefit the entire country in the long run.
Well, Eric, the other side has been going bonkers. The mainstream media has been going crazy as well. I want to talk a little bit about and get your reaction to that massive fence that went up last night around the Supreme Court. But we first need to take a break here because of the pledge drive. Our segments are a little bit shorter as we continue our conversation with Eric Schuyler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this message by Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, and I want to give a big shout out to our St. Joseph Recurring Giving Society members. They make a huge difference for us at Relevant Radio because they're monthly generous donors who budgeted a gift of $25 or more every month for Relevant Radio. So please consider becoming a member. It helps us to budget better. It saves us money. And you'll get some wonderful spiritual benefits in return, like being included in our Mass, Rosary, and Chaplet General Intentions. Take a look at all the spiritual benefits at relevantradio.com/Joseph. We only have today and tomorrow left in our pledge drive. We have matching funds this hour, so whatever dollar amount you give will be double. So please consider becoming a member of our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society and give online now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Or you can call us at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I am John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our discussion with our good friend and regular contributor, Eric Schuyler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League based in Chicago. Eric, I wanted to get your perspective, your take on this huge fence that has gone up around the Supreme Court. And in fact, Justice Alito has canceled all of his public appearances because of all the mayhem and all the protests that are going on, not only in D.C., but around our country.
John, it always troubles me to see fences erected around anything, especially government buildings. We've seen this before. The troops that were stationed in Washington for months after the election and inauguration in 2021. And I wonder how much of the fence going up around the Supreme Court is a kind of a PR move on their part, because they've been attacked so much, you know, in the press. There's been so much, you know, screaming and yelling about their, you know, somehow this illegitimate decision or whatever people are saying about it. You'll notice, though, that people who are criticizing this ruling have obviously not read it. All they care about is that they think abortion rights are being, you know, threatened to them. You know, it's ironic, though, protests in Chicago and New York, San Francisco, D.C., these are all places where abortion, quote-unquote, rights are completely secure. I mean, Illinois has become the most radically pro-abortion state in the country, where the Pro-Life Action League is headquartered, where you and I live. And so it's the protests are kind of an acting out of sorts, because there's not going to be an attack on abortion in Illinois for some time to come, as things currently stand. But it's also very troubling that someone would so disrespect the Supreme Court that they would leak a ruling like this. I mean, this is unprecedented. It undermines the integrity of the court. The thought that leaks could become a regular part of our federal, you know, court maneuvering in the future is just really terrifying. It's incredibly concerning to me. And even as I'm excited about what this ruling actually says, the fact that it was leaked in this way, as an American, is really bothersome, and the appearance of a giant fence around a court that is meant to uphold liberty, the tearing down of fences and the opening up of opportunities, you know, that's a really, really concerning symbol, I think.
Well, Eric, there's been a lot of reaction on both sides. San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone, he tweeted, "Tonight, I am thinking of all the years of hard work by pro-life people of all faiths and none. Years and years of patient advocacy, help for unwed moms, political engagements, and more." Those are powerful words by Archbishop Cordileone. What does it mean to you as the executive director of Pro-Life Action League to see that Roe really is on the verge of being overturned?
Well, my first thoughts go back to my father, Joe Shiler, who passed away a little over a year ago. He fought for this his entire life, out on the streets, trying to change people's opinions about abortion, save babies, confront the pro-abortion politicians, challenge the abortionists to repent and change their ways, and so many did over the years. And, you know, he thought, when he first got into the movement way back in 73, when Roe v. Wade came down, he and my mother thought it would take about 5 years to convince the American people to pass a human life amendment and end abortion forever in our country. Almost 50 years later, we're on the verge of the first step of that, of overturning Roe versus Wade. So the battle proved to me much, much longer than he and many early pro-life leaders thought. But they continued to fight. We recently lost so many of them, Paul Brown of American Life League and Vicki Thorne, who was a great pioneer in helping women who are suffering with the aftermath of abortion. So, you know, let's remember those heroes who have gone before us and who are now, I believe, advocating on the other side of eternity for this change in our country. So they've achieved a great thing. Now it falls to us, this next generation, to then build upon this ruling. That means that in states that are willing to ban abortion, we have to really ramp up our efforts to help those mothers who are facing untimely pregnancy and give them all the assistance that they need. I think we need to think big and think creatively about how we can transform you know, our approach to the problems that push women towards abortion. You know, most women feel deeply coerced into getting those abortions that they don't want. In blue states, we need to start talking about things like unwanted abortion. Can't we find common ground in trying to help women who don't want the abortions that they feel pressured to get? That would be something I think everyone could agree on. Let's try to stop a boss or a disgruntled boyfriend from forcing a woman to get an abortion. Let's pass laws that make it illegal to transfer abortion pills over state lines. Heavy penalties for, say, providing an abortion pill to a woman, which has happened again and again. These pills have become so readily available. You know, a boyfriend or husband doesn't want to have another kid. They can slip this drug into their wife or girlfriend's drink, trick her into taking an abortion pill. She just thinks she's having a miscarriage, and nobody ever finds out that this was a murder that was committed on her child. So we're going to have a tremendous task in front of us. I'm really concerned, John, that all of this hype about Roe v. Wade for 49 years is going to lead too many pro-life people to think if this ruling finally goes down, we've won. We've reached victory, and the job is done. The job is only going to begin for us in earnest if Roe v. Wade is actually overturned by the Supreme Court. That's when the pro-life movement really starts.
Without a doubt, in total agreement, it's way too early to start celebrating. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. We need to continue to pray, as Father Rocky reminded us, to pray for the justices of the Supreme Court, that they be blessed with courage and fortitude and wisdom and prudence. Eric, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Always love your perspective. I appreciate it.
Thanks to you, John, and I'm really praying for a great Pledge Drive for Relevant Radio. You guys are doing great work.
Thanks so much. Again, you can go to the ProLifeActionLeague.org for much more. Eric Schuyler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Exorcist Monsignor Stephen Rossetti will be with us with some perspective on the spiritual battle in our nation. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in and being with us on this Thursday morning. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you as we continue with our Relevant Radio Give Hope Pledge Drive. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about the spiritual battle that's going on across our nation, how evil is attacking from every aspect of America, from politics to culture. It's a satanic attack, I believe, on the sanctity of life with abortion. It's an attack on traditional marriage. It's an attack on the family. Joining us now from our nation's capital is a friend of Morning Air and an exorcist, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, to discuss the spiritual battle in America. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist, chaplain of the Washington Nationals, and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist: Demons, Possession, and the Modern-Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. Good morning, Monsignor Rossetti. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you this morning, especially here in crunch time. As you may have heard from the baseball world, it is crunch time for us during our Give Hope a Pledge Drive.
Well, good morning, John and Glenn. Great to be back. And I want you to know that I'm calling today and giving my pledge again, this time because I believe so much in the work of Relevant Radio.
God bless you, Monsignor. Thank you so much. And we always appreciate your perspective. I'd like to get your take on why our listeners should continue to support the mission of Relevant Radio, that's constantly preparing our Relevant Radio family with the spiritual tools needed to confront the culture of death and to confront the evil one, which we're going to talk about here in a moment.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, there's just a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of goodness, too, of course, but there's a lot of evil out there, a lot of worldliness, and sometimes we don't realize how inured and how it's so much part of what we hear and take in all day. So each day we need to take in a little bit of the Lord. You know, we need to feed our souls because there's so much out there which is deadening it. So Relevant Radio does that. It gives you a sense of, it brings Christ to our life, and each day we need to feed our souls.
Monsignor, can you give us your perspective on this obvious spiritual battle that's going on across our nation? All we got to do is turn on the news the last 48 hours. I believe it's a satanic attack on the sanctity of life with abortion. It's an attack on traditional marriage and the family. I'd like to get your take.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good out there, of course. You know, and I go around each day, and there's some wonderful people like yourselves doing great work. But there are some clear footprints of Satan in today's society, I think more so than ever before. The discord, the violence, the death, and then abortion is one of them. You know, it's a culture of death. So I think that we see Satan's footprints, and we have to continue to pray and ask, especially ask our Blessed Mother to intercede for us.
Do you see evil attacking just about every aspect of America, especially our politics and so much of our culture?
Well, I think when society moves away from the Christian faith, we see that. We see fewer people practicing the Catholic faith and the Christian faith, that you're going to start doing bad things. because you either are aligned with those who are not against me or for me, as Jesus said. For example, you know, there's this a woman practicing witchcraft openly, and she has 400,000 followers on social. I'm sitting there going, whoa, 400,000 people are following this person practicing witchcraft. You know, people don't realize how dangerous all this stuff is and how, you know, you're really following Satan's, one becomes one of Satan's minions. So, yeah, there's just a lot of it out there. And I'm concerned. I'm actually kind of terrified in some ways. I'm not terrified, but certainly very concerned that so many people think magic is this satanic stuff is good. It's shocking.
Monsignor Rossetti, some people are so fanatical about abortion that they act like it's a sacrament.
Right. Well, the battle lines are very clear, you know, and it is we're very firm. The church has been firm. The Bible's very firm. You know that abortion's a great evil. And I know people. There's a whole side of people who say don't believe it, and they're really upset by it. Perhaps the new ruling looks like it will be, but we stand firm in supporting life, and we not only need to sort of change the laws, as hopefully will happen, but we need to sort of change people's perspective, and we have to stop the demand for abortions, you know, because even when the laws change, hopefully, the people will still be doing some of this, and either legally or illegally, you know. And we need to sort of help to these young, especially pregnant women, find help and support, which I know the church has recently again said we need to do that. We need, as Archbishop Laurie said, you know, we're here, we stand here ready to help young women in the time of need.
Well, we need to continue to fight the good fight of faith, pray to St. Michael the Archangel, and protect ourselves. As always, Monsignor, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your spiritual perspective, as always.
Well, God bless you. Good luck with your fun drive, and may the Lord bless you all.
Thanks again, and thanks for your donation and all your contributions. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, licensed psychologist, the author of Diary of an American Exorcist. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Relevant Radio as our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive continues.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
We had a call, I guess it was last week, of a mother who called in. She was worried about her son. I think it was her son. He had to go to the emergency room. She found him hanging, tried to commit suicide. Don't know how long he was there. He was unresponsive. You know, normally with the loss of oxygen or blood flow, there's brain damage. There's all sorts of other problems. She called back last week, and I really hope she'll write the story down in greater detail. And testify to the miracle that this prayer was, how it resurrected her son, how it really worked the miracle to the point where doctors were saying, we're just amazed. We've never seen anything like this, right? That is the power of prayer.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
It's been a hard
Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morrell, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air as our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive continues. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you. Now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Always remember that the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is powerful. When the gospel, the book eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, the Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our gospel reading for this fourth Sunday in Easter comes from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And time now for an in-depth look at that gospel reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter out of John 10, 27 through 30. He's the shepherd of the Diocese of Reno, Nevada. Joining us once again, it's Bishop Daniel Muggenberg. Great to have you along, Bishop Muggenberg.
And great to be here, Glenn.
Well, talking sheep and shepherds and the job of the shepherd and his promises and the job of the sheep to cooperate as well, all part of today's reading.
Yes, it is. And this is always called Good Shepherd Sunday because every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we have some reading from John chapter 10 where Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. But that identification is also reminding us of what it means to be a faithful member of his flock.
Our Lord always using great parables and analogies that resonated with the people of that day, and we need to learn a little bit more about the life of a shepherd and his flock, maybe to fully appreciate that. But one of the neat things, too, is the historical context in which our Lord first started talking about this story.
That's true. John is very clear that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Dedication, and that particular feast was celebrated annually. It commemorated really the rededication of the temple in the year 164 BC, and there were three primary themes that surrounded that dedication of the temple, and one was God's presence, second, God's protection, and number three, what it means to be a member of God's faithful people. And so Jesus really speaks to each of those three themes in this gospel passage for this Sunday.
This passage used for great comfort through the years, too, with talk about nothing being snatched out of our Father's hand.
That's true. However, that particular promise, we need to remember, is conditioned upon the fact that we are hearing his voice and that we are following him, and that we are resting securely in his hand and in the hand of the Father. Whenever we refuse to hear the Lord's voice, or we refuse to follow the Lord's guidance in our lives, or whenever we choose to put ourselves in danger, then we are actually risking losing those promises of divine protection that Jesus gives us.
So we need to be good sheep and to listen. And that's the thing about sheep in real life, too, is they learn the shepherd's voice and they know when to come.
They do. You know, we live in a world where we have fences everywhere. And so we're very accustomed to the fact that there are natural borders for livestock or flocks. But in the ancient world, they really didn't have that. They just had open grazing fields. And so shepherds would, you know, share the same field with their flocks. And so the sheep had to be attentive to the distinctive voice of their particular shepherd so that they would hear him calling and they would be able to follow, especially as he moved from one section of the field to the next. And if they weren't attentive to that voice, then they could very easily become lost and end up following a different flock without even realizing. And I think that speaks to us today because there are a lot of voices out there who want to give us guidance and direction. And if we're not really distinguishing the voice of Jesus speaking to us, then we can easily find ourselves led astray and in the middle of some different or even contrary flock instead.
Boy, can we ever, as we take a look again at Sunday's Gospel with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd this Sunday, the reading out of John 10, 27 through 30. So many voices out there calling us in different directions. And we do know, too, from other passages of Scripture, you know, other great analogies about shepherding, that a shepherd will leave the safe pile of sheep to go find the lost one as well.
Yes, and Jesus will do that in John's gospel as he goes to the disciples in the locked room and as he comes back to even visit Thomas, whom we heard about this past Sunday or two Sundays ago. But Jesus is the good shepherd who always seeks us out, but we have to be attentive and responsive to our Lord's initiatives.
Might seem simple, but we might forget because sheep aren't the smartest and we were, you know, made to be like sheep in the story here a little bit. But what are some of the things that we can do, just some of those basics to make sure that we're listening to our shepherd's voice?
Well, I think one of the first things that we have to do is we have to cultivate a sense of silence each day. It doesn't necessarily have to be a long period, but give the Lord a space in our lives where we are simply opening ourselves to listen and pray for the Lord to guide us. You know, ask for his inspiration and the Holy Spirit to inspire us throughout the day and guide our decisions and our actions, and actually pray for the grace to be responsive to those moments. Secondly, I think the examination of consciousness as we stop each day and we look over our day and we say, where were the moments of grace that I may not have recognized in the moment, but as I look back on my day, I do recognize. And where were the moments of temptation that perhaps I needed to be stronger in the face of? That examination of conscience actually helps us recognize the movement of God and be better prepared to respond to that movement of God in the next day. Certainly, the celebration and reception of the sacraments, the Eucharist and confession, help both incline our will to God and also help free us from those attachments that can deafen our ability to hear God.
And as we think of the work we do here at Relevant Radio during a Relevant Radio Pledge Drive week, when we strive to be that amplified voice of the shepherd to the flocks worldwide, may we ever continue to be that good, strong voice and like any good herd, kind of helping one another out along the way as well. Always appreciate your look at the Sunday Gospel. Bishop Huggenberg, if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up this week with your blessing.
The Lord be with you, and may the blessing of Almighty God always make us attentive and responsive to the voice of the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus, speaking to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Another good story about generosity during our pledge drive here at Relevant Radio. Our story today called The Old Lady and the Television Interview. There's a story about an elderly lady in Arkansas. As the state voted to increase welfare payments to indigents, hoping for a tearjerker story, a television interviewer went into the back hills where many welfare recipients lived. The old woman he chose to interview lived in a one-room shack. Drafty in winter, stifling in summer, her bed was just a few rough planks nailed together with a pine needle mattress. A couple of thin blankets and a fireplace did little to protect her from the cold. Her furniture, a table and two chairs, were fashioned from the same rough wood as her bed. Some shelves held a few cans of food from the general store, a three-mile walk down the road. Several jars of preserves and a few squash completed her larder. She had no fridge or freezer. The fireplace provided heat for cooking. With no phone or television, her only connection with the outside world was an old radio that pulled in two or three local stations on a good day. The old woman had one convenience, running water. A crystal clear stream gurgled a short distance behind her home. A small garden near her back door provided fresh vegetables during the summer and some squash and turnips for the winter. A tidy flower garden brightened the front of her house. The television crew arrived and set up their big, expensive cameras. Their mobile station broadcast pictures of the woman and the place she called home. Eventually, the interviewer asked the old woman, "If the government gave you $200 more each month, what would you do with it?" Without hesitation, the woman replied, "I'd give it to the poor." Hebrews 13:16, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. I always appreciate your story corners. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will give us a legal perspective on the Supreme Court leak that we've been talking about now for the last several days. And our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will discuss Marian devotion, our listeners' favorite ways of honoring our Blessed Mother Mary, especially here during the month of May, the month of Mary, and of course, every day. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour as we continue with our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. It's crunch time, folks, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.